بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رمضان is a university of many courses and it's a course in a main course, in the essential course, in ibadah, of course, in spiritual aspects. But there's also courses in Ramadan on raising kids, courses on patience, on sharing and feeling part of the ummah, on shame and modesty, on fear of Allah, on tawbah and sincerity. Each one of those is a lesson you can learn something out of it in Ramadan. And each one of those is something worthy of several talks. However, today we're going to take up one of those areas, and that's pride and honor and glory, which in Arabic is called izzah. Islam is a religion of highness and elevation, a religion of diligence and seriousness and hard work. Ramadan is the month of pride, of honor. Ramadan teaches you this on several levels, in several fronts. A person fasting is in an arena to attain honor on different fronts. How? Someone's going to say, come on now, what are you talking about? How's Ramadan connected to izzah? When one leaves food, when one leaves water, when one leaves his desires, and then one leaves that which is prohibited throughout the year, he raises himself over worldly, earthly matters. He elevates himself by leaving the low, despicable matters, or possibly neutral matters. When he does that, he frees himself from habits and traditions and desires. That's izzah. That's izzah to himself, over himself. When he becomes victorious over his own nafs, his self-inclination, then he's attained the peak of izzah, because then nothing can stand in front of him. He attains izzah and honor on another front when he stays away from controversy, when he stays away from arguing with others, when he stays away from ignorance and anger over others, in harming others. إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخُبْ. That gives you honor and izzah in others, in dealing with others. A believer attains izzah in the university of Ramadan with his worship, fasting, with the deeds he does, abandoning that which Allah prohibited. That's the deep secret in attaining izzah to one's internal self. That's boosting the iman. That's getting closer to Ar-Rahman. That's izzah. Believers attain izzah in this month when they're encouraged to spend. To spend? What's spending got to do with izzah now? You're complicating matters. It's got a lot to do with it. It's got a lot to do with spending. When you're spending, it protects the weak, the poor. You save them from asking. You save the elders from poverty. You save the low ones from being desperate. You raise them and elevate them from being low to having izzah. Islam wants you to live in honor and dignity and pride on all fronts. That's why Islam said the hand given is better than the hand receiving. You can go on with many examples on this. Honor and pride and dignity attain you love and respect. It's only bad when one makes this a goal without keeping the guidance of Allah attached to it. That's when it veers off course. He told Ibn Abbas sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you ask, ask Allah. If you seek aid, seek it in Allah. Why? That's izzah there. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it's better for one to take a rope and go and chop and cut wood than to carry it on his back than to ask others. Do anything, but don't ask others. Izzah. In fact, some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give him a commitment, allegiance, bay'ah. The Prophet sallallahu gave him bay'ah on Sahih Muslim, on Islam, on the five pillars, then on obedience to him. Then he said, and don't ask anything from people. This is all, what? Don't ask anything. Why? To instill honor and pride and glory in this ummah. Wahib ibn Munabbih said to a man who kept going to the rulers and asking them, woe to you. You kept returning to a man who closes his door in your face and he shows you his poor side and hides his wealth from you. You leave the one who opens his door day and night and shows you how rich he is and asks you to ask him? Tawus told Ata, don't ever ask anyone who closes his door before you or has mediators or secretaries. Go to the one whose door is always open until the judgment day, the one who ordered you to ask and promised you to answer. Promised you an answer. Abu Hazim was asked, a scholar of his time, what's your wealth? What do you got? How much money you got? He said, my confidence in Allah is what I got. In despair in all human beings. The Amir of his time wrote him a letter telling him, whatever you need of wealth, write me and I'll send it to you. He said, I've asked the one who gives me, and whatever he gives me, I'm content with. And whatever he deprives me of, I'm pleased with. I'm happy with what Allah gave you. I don't need nothing from you. This is the month of Izzah. Let us feel this feeling. Let us seek it where it's at. Let us try to attain it. Let us have that quality in ourselves and revive it in this ummah. Not only is the Izzah on a personal level, but it's on a higher level than that. The ummah has to have a level of Izzah as a whole. Allah honored this ummah. Allah gave ummah this Izzah in this month, in Badr. The battle of Izzah. The month of Ramadan. The month that the greatest conqueror of all conquerors, Inna fatahna laka fatahan mubina, Mecca in Ramadan. In the third year of Hijrah, the Muslim fended off an attack by Quraysh when they were going to retaliate because of their defeat in Badr, in Ramadan. In the fifth year of Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ began to prepare for the Khandaq, in Ramadan. Spain, the defeat of Tatar, and many, many more historic matters that brought Izzah to this ummah. Izzah, honor, and pride is mentioned many times in the Quran. Man kana yuridu al-izzata, فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا Umar goes on foot traveling from Medina to Jerusalem. He goes to get the keys of Bayt al-Maqdis. He shares the way with his servant. In Umar's days, it's not a Jew or a Christian who gets oppressed, not even an animal. We're not going to say a Muslim, not a Jew, not a Christian, not an animal. Umar goes beyond what the 20th century can even imagine. Umar paves the way for sheep so they won't stumble. Umar goes from Medina to Jerusalem. He takes turn riding the camel. His servant takes a turn, Umar takes a turn, and the camel takes a turn. Yeah, that's the beauty of Islam. Even the camel gets to rest. Each one gets one third of the way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us the likes of Umar. Abu Ubaidah goes to the outskirts to greet his Khalifa, his leader. When Umar comes, happens to arrive, it's raining. And please visualize with me this scene. This scene where Umar is leading a camel. It's muddy because it's a desert. He ties his shoes laces on his shoulder. One in the front, one on his back. Ibn Kathir went into detail describing the scene. He says the hot sun was hitting the bald head of Umar. Meaning he didn't have nothing on his head. He wasn't wearing nothing on his head, nothing on his shoes, and his dress, one side of it was described as fully shredded, and the other parts were stitched up. You can just imagine Abu Ubaidah going to his leader, taking Umar to the side, you know, Umar meeting with him. Umar, you're going to meet the heads of the Romans, the bishops and the priests. They're surrendering the keys to you. This is a historic event, Umar. Umar, how about you change your clothes? That's when Umar lets out a sigh. Ah, ya Abu Ubaidah. Had anyone other than you said this, I would have made an example out of him for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Basically saying, Abu Ubaidah, you're special. You've expanded the Muslim land beyond what many did. You are among the top generals of this ummah. Had it been anyone else who said that, I would have punished him to set an example for the whole ummah to learn a lesson from. Then Umar said his golden tweet, the tweet of Umar, were people honored with Islam, if we choose other than Islam to honor us, we will be dishonored, we'll be humiliated. Were people who are honored with Islam, if we choose other than Islam, we'll be humiliated. Anything other than Islam, anything other than the teachings of Islam. This last quote, in parts of the story, Ibn al-Mubarak mentioned it in his Zuhud. Ibn Abi Shayba mentioned it. Hannad mentioned it. Al-Hakim in al-Mustadrak mentioned it. Abu Na'im fil Hulya mentioned it. It's in al-Bidayah wa al-Nihayah in the fourth volume. It's authentic, it's solid, as if it was in the Sihah. There's some of the details, some versions have certain details that are different in the beginning part of the story. The simple solution to the Ummah, he gave us the simple solution to the matters of the Ummah and to how to attain Izzah. If mere words of telling him, change your clothes, got him upset to deem it that he's seeking pride in other than Islam, and he was going to use the Durra over the head of one of Islam's biggest generals. Durra is the name of Umar's whip. Oh, لو قال هذا غيرك يا أبو عبيدة لجعلته نكالا لأمة محمد نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام فمهما ابتغينا العزة بغير الإسلام أذلنا الله. والله العظيم, my father made me memorize it when I was less than 5 years old. Embed it into the hearts of your children. This is Izzah. This is how you ascertain Izzah. I just wonder sometimes what Umar would do with his durra on the heads of the ulama today who are not seeking honor in a new set of clothing, but they're seeking honor in a new set of values and ideologies. Those who throw themselves in the laps of every predator that looks at them, seeking honor and glory through them. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ لِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. You desire honor and glory and power, from Allah it comes. عِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. All of it, all of it. All, he didn't have to say it in the verse, to emphasize, all of it comes from Allah. It's not arrogance, but it's not to be ashamed to be a Muslim. You show your pride in the teachings of Islam, in the laws of Islam. You don't care about criticism. You don't want to care about those who criticize you. You don't care about the blame of the blamers. That's pride. When a famous alim called Al-Mahdi was sitting in the masjid once, everyone ran to the Khalifa who happened to walk in the masjid. This man remained sitting, doing whatever he was doing. He remained in the masjid. They told him, don't you want to get up and greet the Khalifa? He just walked in. He said, while the Khalifa was listening, we only stand to the Lord of the universe. People only stand to the Lord of the universe. It wasn't a special greet of salam where he's going to embrace him, or a friend he hasn't seen in a long time where you can stand up to him. It was just people going and crowding to kiss up to him, to show him you're the leader, and you know, go around him and get a look at him. The guards went to apprehend this man, al-Mahdi. What? How dare you say something or beat him? The Khalifa said to them, stop, don't touch him. Wallahi, what he said made every hair on my body stand. The Sheikh had pride in Izzah, and the leader had fear of Allah. Those who adulate and kiss up to leaders for money, for prestige, for other reasons, they've lowered themselves and they lack pride in Izzah in this religion. Malik ibn Anas, the Imam of his time, summoned by Harun. There's no Imam like Malik today, and there's no leader like Harun al-Rashid today. He says to him, come over and teach me and my kids. Harun tells Imam Malik. Any alim would have dreamed of that opportunity, because all you got to do is read in the Western books how much they say Harun used to spend on knowledge and on poetry, on poets. Imam Malik said to him, Al-ilmu yu'ta wa la ya'ti. You go to knowledge, you seek knowledge. Knowledge doesn't come to you. When Harun al-Rashid entered his house, the house of Imam Malik, he sat up and put his back on the wall. He's getting comfortable. Malik said, honor your elders. I'm older, respect me, sit up. Basically, he said, respect me, sit up. So Harun complied and showed him respect. Harun then told him the statement. He said, others lowered themselves to us with their knowledge. We didn't benefit from you, from them. We humbled ourselves to your knowledge and we benefited from it. Even the leaders can tell who's fake and who's not. Izzah is on all levels. Look at the khulafa back then, the leaders back then, even the oppressive leaders back then, in this month, al-Mu'tasim in Amuriyah, 223 years after the Hijrah, the the empire, the Roman Empire, seen a weakness that the Muslim had, where the Mu'tasim went to fend off someone called Babek al-Kharmi. When he went to fight him off, the Romans seen a weakness, so they took a portion of the Muslim land. They invaded it. They killed the children, the elders, no mercy. They had no mercy and compassion on anyone. They didn't spare anyone. They took over 1,000 female Muslimat as slaves, concubines. And they slaughtered their kids before them. And then they took Muslim male prisoners, put iron rods in their eyes, and they cut their ears off and snatched their noses off. Then comes a shout from one of the Muslim, "Wa mu'tasimat," to the Mu'tasim. And she shouted for the Mu'tasim for help. On the spot, he went to her aid. What a mockery when you look at today. What a mockery. What foolishness. The Syrians being massacred like something that's going to go in history. One of the top catastrophes in history. The Syrians are massacred. History is going to document it. For 2 years. After Mufti Obama declares war and openly says now he's going to help them. Now suddenly the Shiuch pop up in Egypt and then elsewhere. And everyone wants to talk about it and speak those big terminology. Where were you for 2 years before that? Where were you 2 years before that when they were getting slaughtered like sheep? What an ummah. What an ummah in their low thinking. They hailed, those are heroes? Those are heroes after 2 years after they're given the green light? What a backward thinking ummah we have. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open their eyes so they can analyze things the proper way. Because there's no izzah. Those ulama are the heroes? They asked the Syrian man, what do you think about what Mufti Obama is doing, what the shiuch, you know, now they got the green light, now they're speaking, and now they're meeting and declaring and using the big term. He said, we never waited for them. We don't see the effect of that here. And nothing of that is apparent to us here. They're two years later.